who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm RJ Bell with the sports betting headlines for Wednesday. Deshaun Watson reportedly settles 20 of the 24 civil suits. Vegas has reacted in the last week or two really downward with the Browns. They were expected to win 10 games. Now only 8.5 wins expected. That means that the market believes Watson will play less games than we thought even just a few weeks ago. Smith, yes, a man named Smith is the number one favorite to go number one in the NBA draft. Right now, Jabari Smith is the favorite to go number one. And Holmgren from Gonzaga is the third favorite to go number one. But OKC is expected to want him at number two. Now we look at the NBA MVP. We've got the two favorites now. It's Luka and it's Joel Embiid. It's Embiid and Luka, the favorites to win the MVP next year. Here comes a 4 Hour of the Vegas Truth covering all that and more.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ, live in Las Vegas, live on a Wednesday, live on 226 FSR stations across this great, great nation. Wow, we got a lot of news happening here in a supposedly slow time of the year, and especially the NBA draft. And AJ, who joins today, is a college basketball expert, and he's dug into the tape, and we'll do a review here today on the biggest picks and who's favored to be the number one, number two, number three pick Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their bites. He is the fan who beats the man, A.J. Hoffman.
Thank you, RJ. Great to be here. Deshaun Watson settles 20 of his cases. There's another major move in the first pick for the NBA draft market, and the NBA MVP odds are released today. What is the Vegas lead?
I think we start with Watson because what we're talking about here is a quarterback who is considered to be a top five, top six quarterback. And people maybe have forgotten that to some degree. Watson didn't play last year, and it was a mutual decision with the Houston Texans. And the year before, they only won four games. So there was a sense of like, well, Watson's fading or, you know, whatever. No. If you actually look at the prior year, Watson played his best football ever. And he was right up there with Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes. And Josh Allen was the list, really, with Watson as the best quarterbacks in the NFL year before last. Now, how much is his absence going to matter? You know, his or absence meaning his time off, he missed all those games. I don't know. Maybe it takes him a while to get the rust off. How much is the disruption of a suspension this year going to affect him? I don't know. But what we know is, AJ, the betting market thinks the move, the effect is going to be significantly negative. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, he was expected, or the Browns were expected, to win 10 games. Now, everyone knew a couple weeks ago he had this lingering legal issue, this potential suspension hanging over his head. And the Browns knew that when they signed him to the most guaranteed money in the history of the sport. But then through the news media, PR, however you want to explain it, the tide seemed to turn against him, and a lot more pessimism, a lot more like, hey, we should be harsh in this punishment talk started. And nothing fundamentally has changed, except you could say the settlements of the cases, which actually seem positive to kind of ending this. But it doesn't change the fact that it was 10 games expected to be won by the Browns, and now it's only 8.5, and not much has really changed except the narrative, except the PR. This is a big story right now, and I think we should start with the settlement of the lawsuits and go in and dig in.
Yeah, certainly. And the NFL says the development of him settling these lawsuits will not affect potential discipline towards Watson. I don't know whether
that's insane. So let's start there. How could that be?
I mean, I don't really understand that either. To me, it seems like if you're settling, the NFL should look at it as, okay, he doesn't have issues hanging over his head right now. He's gotten this matter resolved to an extent.
Well, to an extent, the question is how.
Well,
does
20
he...
out of the 24. It's not completely resolved, certainly.
Okay, so but the very act of making a distinction of 20 of the 24 means the settlement matters in 20 of the 24 cases, and four it hasn't happened. So hey, how could it matter? Meaning, when they settle, it will matter there too. Because let's assume, for the sake of argument, that today they announced that the other four are going to be settled. Okay, now, if we said, well, when is this going to be resolved? The theory is...
it is resolved at that point.
Yeah, other than the NFL's decision, resolved. So now there could be some other announcement or legal issue that stems. And we could find out he's robbed a 7-Eleven, or we could find out anything. That Tom Brady did something wrong. I mean, we don't know. But of the known issues, they would all be settled at that point. So how can the NFL say that the settling or not doesn't matter?
I don't quite understand it. And the fact that he currently has four civil lawsuits instead of 24, to me, that has to change the way you look at this thing. And not that, you know, not that you don't take into account that there were 24 at one point, but the NFL is looking to protect their brand. And a guy coming in with 24 unresolved cases is not a great look. If he can get all of these resolved before the season, why shouldn't that have an impact on what his punishment is?
At minimum, it should have an impact on what stage of the process the NFL is in, right? I mean, to some degree, let's just do a hypothetical here. Let's say the NFL does their own, which they have done by multiple counts, their own investigation here, and let's say they determine they think Deshaun Watson was egregiously wrong in multiple instances, that he did, it doesn't even matter what it is because this is a hypothetical, but he did stuff that was plain wrong, borderline illegal. And if they were the DA, maybe they would have pursued it, but they aren't the DA, but they just think our investigation is bad, bad, bad. Okay? That's very possible that that's what they have concluded up to this. You know, I think the investigation is pretty much done, but okay, to whatever degree it is, it's very possible that's what they concluded. I'm not saying it is, but let's say it is. Now, let's say then that the other, all 24 cases were dropped. They just said, you know, we're tired of this. We don't want to be in the public eye anymore. And they all drop it. The NFL still is going to act upon what they believe the facts to be. And thus, I see in a way them saying that we don't care about these cases because the women deciding to take money or not taking money, or how hard are they going to hold out for how long? That isn't the issue. The issue is what really happened. Right.
I think we talk about a case that happened a few months ago, the Trevor Bauer case, where everything was thrown out.
Why don't you explain what happened in that case?
Yeah, Trevor Bauer accused of being a little too rough in his personal life with a lady. It turns out the judge says, no, that's not the case. She was consenting. This is what went down. He threw it out altogether, threw out her protective order. So basically said Trevor Bauer.
I think it was a lady, a woman judge, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not sure, but I know they said Trevor Bauer did nothing wrong. He's free and clear by the justice system. And
didn't do anything illegal.
Right. And Major League Baseball said, well, we conducted our investigation and we're suspending you for 2 years, despite the fact that he apparently did nothing illegal.
And it was a female judge.
Yeah. So, well, AJ just assumes it's a man. And to me, I think, you know, I think, hey, it's wonderful. There's a woman judge here. You know, there's a little, it's 50-50, man. But that's just me, you know? I don't know. I'm RJ Bell. We're straight. I mean, AJ makes me look like a softy, too. I love it. I love it. I don't think I ever could have found someone to do this, but there it is. All right. So, to me, what does the baseball example show us? It seems clear that what is accepted as conventional when it comes to sex, that if someone is doing something that the general public considers to be wholesome and fine and good American, they have no problem with it. If they're doing something which is outside of that, and if it's more, you know, if you want to say kinky, or if it's more unconventional, not illegal, but unconventional, and BDSM, the idea of bondage and discipline and all this stuff. Obviously, it's a huge subculture on the internet. There's a lot of people that are at least interested in it and a lot that engage in it, but we don't want to hear about it. And if you give us too many details, the public in general is going to go, ooh, that guy, something's wrong with him. And I think with Bauer, that's what's happened here, is when you have a judge is thrown out, a woman judge is thrown out protective orders and saying this is all BS and he did nothing wrong. And it was pretty staunch, the response. It wasn't kind of like, well, we can't prove it, or, hey, you know, it's a reasonable doubt issue. No, it's like it's not even worth bringing to trial. And then the guy gets multiple year suspension. How can that be perceived as anything except he's acting in a way that's unconventional, and the public is saying, ooh, and baseball is saying, we don't want the public mad. They're saying, ooh, and we're going to punish him.
That's all it can be. And like you said, this was a case where there wasn't a settlement. This was thrown out. Like, this doesn't exist anymore. It's not like he took care of it in some way. A judge said, nope, this never happened. And he's still being punished that way. It strikes me as very unfair.
And it strikes me, though, that if it was 10 years ago and he was engaged in was homosexual sex, let's say, or a homosexual relationship, that they maybe react the same way. Because I don't know how long ago we can say that the average person would say, ew, if it was two guys together, but it wasn't that long ago. And to me, It's good that we're moving in the direction. The two guys together wouldn't necessarily result in like a harsh reaction by baseball or by any league. But I also think now the question becomes, okay, but how different is this than, let's say, a woman and a man that's doing something that is unconventional, right? So how does that apply to Watson? Well, it strikes me that at best, what Watson did was use the masseuses as potential hookups, and that they'd show up, and even if it was the best version from the Watson side, you would say that at least some of the time in the middle of the massage, there'd be some solicitation of, hey, do you want to ramp this up? Do you want to take this a little higher? And sometimes the women said yes. Sometimes they said no.
In these proceedings, Watson has admitted that yes, there were times where it turned into sex.
Yeah, consensual sex. So now it was his side of it. So now the question becomes: is that itself something worthy for the NFL to potentially suspend him for? Because it certainly gives the league the idea of this quarterback who has a longtime public steady girlfriend. And again, we don't know. This is something John Middlecoff makes a good point on. We don't know if that they have an open relationship or not. It's very possible, though not likely, that Deshaun Watson and his girlfriend. Now, are they still together, AJ?
They're still together. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, she's at least tolerant of something.
Well, yeah, but it's a different story if it's like he's not allowed to do it, but she catches him and says, you know what, I'm going to forgive you. He's still
But
in
you
that
know what,
case,
again? Again, that goes to the public perception of ew, like that's not what we're used to seeing.
Or that's not. And again, the hypocrisy of that, obviously, is if you look at most people's, you know, if you say how many people didn't have premarital sex, got married and stayed truthful and stayed married to that one woman for their entire lives. And then when they died, they had sex with one woman. That is what society in theory wants. Now the question becomes, how many people achieve that? I don't know, 1% or less?
I think it's probably about 1%. That would have been my number.
So it's like we can sit here in judgment and as a society, but we don't usually live up to that ourselves. But that's hypocrisy, and I think we all know that happens. So let's do this. Let's take our first break, because I think we've gotten into the key part of this story, which is we don't know for sure exactly what happened. The NFL might think they know more, and they may. So some of this decision is going to be based upon what actually happened. And then number two is, well, what did he do that was actually wrong versus what did Watson do that was maybe a bad look, something that the public maybe isn't comfortable with but isn't really wrong by any major, you know, any reasonable definition. And to me, that's where it gets interesting, because if he didn't do anything wrong, but he's going to be punished harshly, that you got a question. Stay tuned. We will.
He's RJ Bell. I'm AJ Hoffman. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I disagree with intervention. I disagree with protocol. If you speak out against the words, then
I'm Roger Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm AJ Hoffman.
Okay, we were talking about Deshaun Watson and the big major adjustment in the betting odds that have shown pessimism for the Browns. And the only reason for that adjustment, and they were expected to win 10 games, and now it's down to 8.5 games. So 1.5 game adjustment. And it's like, why? Well, there's just a sense that Watson's going to get suspended for more games than we thought even a couple weeks ago. And then the settlement happens in 20 of the 24 cases. It's a great conversation. And I think there's some real issues here, especially with the difference, and we haven't discussed this yet, and it's the next thing, which is the difference between the way it was, which was the commissioner pretty much had carte blanche. The commissioner had total power to say, hey, 10-game suspension, 4-game suspension, whatever. And then what's happening now is different with the new bargaining agreement with the union, and it's never really been done yet. This will be the first time the new system is used, and I think it actually benefits the NFL greatly, this new system. So great day to join. This is the fastest-growing show on Fox Sports Radio. Audiences doubled last year plus. You can listen on the iHeartRadio app. Just search for Straight Out of Vegas. Here in Vegas on the Strip, 93 degrees. The neon is flowing.
Yeah, the USA Today says today that the NFL will push for a one-year suspension. And what you're talking about, the new system, this is different than in the past, where if the NFL wanted a one-year suspension, Roger Goodell would say one-year suspension, and that was it.
Yes, but now the way the system is the NFL suggests or makes their own decision, however you want to say, but there's an initial decision by the NFL. So let's say it's a year, like you're talking about, that the reporting is that's what they want, a full season. Then it automatically gets reviewed by a judge who is preset. It's a woman judge, and it's predetermined who that person is. They're the arbiter in a way, and it's either yes, this is approved, and it's whatever the NFL asked for, or it's no, the NFL is being too harsh, and it's being downgraded to X, whatever, let's say half a year, or 8 games, 9 games, okay. So think about the beauty of this. What does history, for the NFL side, what does history tell us the NFL wants? The NFL doesn't want to be hard on its players, right? Ray Rice is a good example. The initial Ray Rice suspension was 2 games. And why does the NFL not want their players harshly dealt with? Because the players is how they make money. They want the good players playing, typically. And number two, the harsher the penalty, the more egregious the act seems to be. So before the film came out or the video came out with Ray Rice, yeah, he told him, yeah, I hit her, I punched her. But it was like it wasn't tangible. So it was like, okay, there was a little scuffle, couple games, let's get back to football, was the message, it seems. But then the video comes out and it's like, oh my gosh, this looks so egregious. And still, even post-video, would they try to get him for 6 and then it got reduced? But it was like they weren't really going – I mean, they weren't going hardcore. Why? Because they want their players on the field. But number two, they don't want it to be a big conversation. Does that sound right to you, AJ, that that's the NFL's typical – or that's their perspective?
I think especially what you said, the last thing you said was they don't want it. They want it to go, the water to pass under the bridge so they can move on, get back to normal. I agree with a guy like Deshaun Watson, who is a big star. And before this happened, was turning into one of the faces of the league. It's certainly a guy they'd rather have on the field than not on the field. But I do think the biggest deal is let's get this over with. As long as Deshaun Watson's suspended, people are going to be talking about it. The sooner he's not suspended, the sooner we can stop talking about this.
I agree. So, but let's talk about that NFL perspective for a second and then ask ourselves, well, what's the downside of that? The downside of the NFL's perspective is it could be perceived that they're not serious about, you know, violence against women. They're not serious about policing their players. You know, they're being too soft. That has been, you know, the Ray Rice example, that was a real narrative that came out of that was, hey, you're not taking this seriously. And now with the new system, isn't it perfectly set up for the best of both worlds? So the NFL comes in and says, a year, we want a year. Let's say a number, it seems like it wasn't that long ago that the thought was 4 or 6 games for Watson. So now it's 17 games. But is it going to be 17 games? Because if 17 is harsh, the judge will say, 17 is too much. We'll make it 8. So what happens at that point? Well, effectively, it's an 8-game suspension. But the NFL looks like they tried to be so much harder core, but the judge just wouldn't let them. They were trying to be so supportive of women, the judge actually had to reverse it. They were so harsh. So now the NFL gets the best, in this hypothetical, the NFL would get the best of both worlds. They look like they're tough on it, but in truth, the effect is much more mild. Thoughts?
Yeah, my thoughts are this. I wonder how many fans realize that that's the case, that change has been made. Because I think most NFL fans, because it's been the case for so long, believe that Roger Goodell is the end-all, be-all, you know, omnipotent guy who makes these decisions. I do think the fact that he could say, hey, this was out of my hands, this is what I wanted, this is what the judge did, does kind of clear him a little bit. How many fans, percentage-wise?
Ho, ho, ho. A little bit. It does 100%. How could anyone – if the commissioner, if the NFL says we want a year and the judge – who the judge is only there – because and they're not acting as an official judge at this point. It's a former judge who's acting as an arbitrator, is
gotcha.
Built into the system because the NFL Player Association didn't want Goodell to have this, you know, unlimited power. So they capitulate on that, give the NFL players what they want. How in the heck could Goodell, who said, I wish I had total control, but it was negotiated away from me, and now I'm given a sentence of a year, and the judge is coming in saying that's too harsh, it's only half a year. How could Goodell be in any way culpable at that point?
You're right. He couldn't be.
Because he
basically said, this is what I would do.
So thus, I'm making this prediction. I don't think you can bet it. But the NFL will come out with a year as their requested punishment, and the judge will reduce it significantly, and this will come to pass exactly as I'm predicting. That's what I'm predicting, AJ, a premonition.
You do get those premonitions.
Occasionally. Okay, last thing on this.
What does this make you think of the over-under of 8.5? Like, do you feel like the adjustment from that 10 is overkill, no, saying what you're saying? Is there a way to bet this?
Well, here's the question. If we assume that the assumption was six games, I think, was the average thought, now the question becomes, if 17's the request, well, the difference is 11 games. Now, is it going to be reduced? And if it is it reduced to 12 or whatever? So I don't really have enough feel to say, is if the delta is going to be going from six to whatever it ends up. So how much is Deshaun affecting the line? About seven points a game. So for every game that he doesn't play that he was expected to play, it's a minus 6-7 points. You know what I'll do is let me put pencil to paper on this, and tomorrow I'll tell you if I think I'll tell you what the adjustment is telling us has changed with the expectation of missed games. And by that, we can decide if we think that number is too high or not. So, let me get more technical with it, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. One last thing I want to say about this, great question, by the way, is I think we need to make this clear, because other shows are only going to start with this, and this is kind of – and they're not gonna, it's where they're going to end, and we skipped it even, and we probably should talk about it a second, which is obviously – I don't know a guy. I know some pretty hardcore, you know, guys growing up. I don't know a guy that wants women to be sexually assaulted, but I certainly don't. And I think that a guy that does that should be punished legally. And I think if a guy does that in a way that isn't legally wrong, but is just wrong, should also be punished if we can define that. You know, obviously it gets to be subjective to some degree, but that to me is the easy part. And if anyone, at least that belief, historically, it hasn't come to pass. You know, men have gotten away historically with a lot. And do I think men should be punished now more than they should? No, I don't think, you know, it's too simple to say two wrongs don't make a right. But I want it to be I want justice served. And I also think that it's very important to say that though in the legal system people are convicted when it's beyond a reasonable doubt, there can often be people who have a 90-95% chance of having committed the crime, but they get found not guilty. Why? Because even at 95%, that means 1 out of 20 people going to jail would be unfairly being incarcerated. We don't want that. The whole American system is built upon that we'd rather 100 guilty people go free than one innocent person go to jail. And we can debate, oh, no, I'd rather innocent people go to jail. Well, okay, fine, debate it, but I'm not in that debate. But people like O.J., I think most people believe that O.J. committed the murders. Personally, I believe he was not proven beyond a reasonable doubt. So I, in the same breath, would say I think O.J. should have been found not guilty, but I think O.J. did it. And that might seem weird, but think it through. It's the only way we can be in a society. Now, if we want to live like the American judicial system. Now, the last point I will make is that in the civil courts, which is not legal, but about money, effectively it's money, right, is the threshold is 51% and not, you know, a preponderance of evidence. And that was the phrase they actually used with Tom Brady's suspension, that exact phrase, which means effectively 51%. So if it was a 51% chance that Deshaun Watson did something and then the NFL wants to punish him for that, that is fair as long as we're defining what's happening. Because the NFL can punish him for anything in theory, because it's a private league. It's not like a right to play in the NFL. So let's not mistake me saying, hey, what's been proven? Hey, we got to account for the fact that that the legal system isn't even saying it's worth pursuing. It doesn't mean I'm pro Deshaun Watson. It means that I'm pro justice.
And it does feel like the conduct unbecoming to the league thing is so loose that they can really just say, well, this, it just makes us look bad. This is what we can punish you for. Even if you, there's no proof of what you did wrong, you've made us look bad as a league.
Well, I think there, yeah, that's interesting. Is, or it could be even, hey, what you did, quote unquote, wrong isn't illegal, but we find it distasteful, and thus it made us look bad. That was designed that way for them to have carte blanche, for them to have the power to pretty much say anyone has the. And don't forget, when we say Deshaun Watson is suspended, it means he is being precluded the ability to earn a living in his chosen profession. And we might say he's got enough millions. Okay, fine. But where does this stop? Because what we know is historically leagues have really been – leagues and boxing promoters and anyone in sports that's got the college degree and the players don't, usually the players came out on the bum end of the deal. And now it might be swinging too far the other way, but – listen, I think this is a fascinating case. I'm going to be interested in what happens. The last thing I'll say about it is I think it's troubling to me that the narrative last week changed so much, even though in truth, no real not much changed, I think, in what we know. But there's one additional woman that said, hey, he did something wrong with me. I'm going to stay anonymous. I'm not going to pursue anything legally. It's like, man, one of the most basic premises in America is you get to face your accuser. And to me, if someone wants to accuse but not be public about it, that means we got to take it less seriously because they don't get a chance to themselves be questioned. And I don't mean the women should be like mistreated on the stand, but we should find out the facts behind the accusations. And to me, that one additional lady coming out really feels like, AJ, it changed the narrative.
Absolutely it did. And that story by the New York Times completely changed the narrative. And you saw it drop another half game the day after that story was published. So it was almost
the win total.
The win total from 9.5. The timing was right when that story was released. So it definitely made an impact on what people's perception was.
And I've got one last thing on this story.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, I'm AJ Hoffman. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Very last thing, at least for now, on the Deshaun Watson case, which is the settlement of this, of the 20 of the 24. The question you ask yourself is, does that make me think he did it? Or does that make me think he didn't do it? And I think there's different ways to look at it. But, AJ, there's been reporting that the – and not that we know for sure, but the speculation is it's about $100,000 per woman.
That was the alleged offer months ago. I don't know if it's changed over the last couple months.
I'm very interested when this comes out because if it's as low as the 100, to me that's a low – I mean, you're talking about 20 – women, it'd be, you know, 100, it's 2 million. And it's like, for Deshaun, that's tipping money. So it's like, the fact that he
would... It's less than 1% of the contract he just signed.
Yeah. So now the question becomes, if you can kind of make this be so much less of a story for that number, because if he would have settled this right away, it would have been much less of a story. Why wouldn't he, right? So you could say, oh, it's because he really believes he didn't do anything wrong, right? Or you could say, hey, it's when the stories, when he started getting the real heat in the last week is when he settles. I think there's two ways to look at it, but I think it's too easy to say if he settles, it means he did it. Because, I mean, there's many times rich people will settle even though they didn't do anything, and many times they have done something. It's something for us each individually to think, how do we assess it? Because I think our default maybe isn't always right with that. Okay, let's take our last break. When we come back, AJ is going to tell you the four players in the NBA draft that are probably going to go 1, 2, 3, and 4 and will likely be four of the most impactful players in the NBA draft coming out. And that's tomorrow is the draft. Stay tuned.
He's RJ Bell. I'm AJ Hoffman. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm AJ Hoffman.
So I remember when Agassi finally won the French Open, the announcer was saying, it's like, this fifth set, this is when running the hills in Vegas in the 110-degree heat, you know, makes it worth it. Well, AJ, you watch a lot of college basketball. And to me, the
some would say too much
Tuesday night Portland State game kind of thing, it feels like running a hill in 110-degree heat to me. And now is going to be the 1 5-minute segment that will benefit from that.
So finally,
let's make it worth it. Let's make it worth it. Here's the odds right now. We're going to go with the four highest rated, most likely to go high in the draft players. And we're starting with Jabari Smith. He is now minus 250 to be the number one pick overall. That's a surge from yesterday, and he's from Auburn. What do we want to know about him?
Yeah, Jabari Smith, 6'10", 220 pounds, and this is a guy who is an excellent shooter, particularly for his size, but he's also an elite on-ball defender, switchable 1-5, great finisher, great free throw shooter for a guy who's 6'10", he shoots 80%. I think of the top three guys that everyone's talking about, the big three, he is the highest floor. He is the safest guy. He's a lock to be in the NBA in the next 3 to 5 years. There's no way he flames out and can't make a roster. He just does all the little things too well.
Okay, so what I've heard about him is that his game was really limited this year because the Auburn guards were so limited they couldn't even get him the ball in the right spot. Do you feel like that he might be better even than his stats because of the teammates?
I think absolutely. And he was the other good player on Auburn was a guy named Walker Kessler, a rim protector. So they were a really front court heavy team that had some real weaknesses in the backcourt. I think you put him with a better guard, I think his scoring numbers can go way up.
All right, so Jabari Smith favored to go number one. That would be to Orlando. Now, a guy who got a bunch of steam action is Boncaro's his name, from Duke. And as recently as Saturday, he was 20-1, a long shot to be number one. Now he's plus 250. So he was even better yesterday. So in a weird way, he got a bunch of steam, and now it's retracting back a little bit. But still a real chance Boncaro goes number one from Duke. What do we want to know?
Yeah, Duke's Boncaro, excellent ball handler and a passer. He was a guard when he was younger. So at 6'10", 250, he's got great handles. He's an excellent passer, but he also does some big man things well. He's working on his shooting. That's something that he's got to improve at the NBA level, but his stroke is good enough. I expect that to happen. He's got the tools to be a great defender, but at Duke, he wasn't really asked to prioritize defense. So we don't know if he's got the mindset or effort to do it. Sometimes he's lazy and rotation, loses his man on occasion, but overall a very promising, particularly an offensive prospect.
I gotta tell you, what's his first name?
Paolo.
Paolo Boncaro is not a guy I'd want back in the day, my girlfriend going away on a weekend as friends.
I think you're making a good call there.
All right, now we got Gonzaga. I just call him Chet, you know, because I feel an affinity to him because I'm thin like him. Well, not really. That's the opposite, I guess. Not the opposite, but still. But this guy's 7 foot and like 190, and that's the big question.
Yeah, and that's really the only question you'll hear asked about Chet Holmgren is, does he have the size to hold up at the NBA level? He is very, very thin, thin shoulders, thin hips, so it doesn't look like he's got a lot of room to grow, but he is an elite rim protector, a shot blocker, both hands, defends all over the floor, great rebounder, he can lead the break himself, he has great handles and vision, and he's an elite outside shooter. So he shot 42% from three. This is a guy who can do everything. The pie in the sky view, this guy could be the next Anthony Davis, obviously a much thinner version of Anthony Davis, should he be able to stay healthy.
Okay, so he's about 4-1 to be the number one pick. The rumor is that OKC at number two wants him badly, so it feels like most likely Jabari Smith goes one, and then Chet goes two, and then Boncaro three. We don't, you know, it's interesting though with OKC and all those draft choices. So we'll have more on this tomorrow. And the fourth pick, Jaden Ivey, is especially supposed to go to number four with Sacramento. We'll talk about that and a few of the other lottery people tomorrow.
If you missed any of today's show, including a really great discussion about Deshaun Watson, what his punishment will be and what it should be, check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. We're back tomorrow. He's RJ Bell. I'm AJ Hoffman. We are straight out of Vegas.
Straight out of Vegas!
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.